Today on Real Life Radio.
To cuss or to curse in the Bible means to cuss or to curse. To take the Lord's name in vain is to live a life that does not bring honor to God. That's what the word means. To blaspheme is to vilify him by what you say or by what you do.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. If you picked up your copy of the one-year Bible yet, we'll be reading that one-year Bible as a church family in 2024, so why don't you join us as we go through the one-year Bible together from cover to cover. It'll be awesome to see how God's Word comes alive through the pages of Scripture. It's an unforgettable devotional experience, and once you see how much God loves you, you will never be the same. The one-year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, With Me in Paradise. You know, this Gospel of Luke series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as really only Luke the physician could do. Here now, we'll continue in chapter 23. We'll consider heaven as our goal and our final destination. You see, many of us live our busy lives in the moment, but we need to have goals and live out our days with purpose. Every Christian has a destination, and we need to keep heaven in mind as we set our sights on eternity. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that we cannot reach heaven when we die unless Jesus takes us there. He is the Lord of all, and we need to decide now to bow down before him and accept him as our Lord and Savior before it's too late. Now with his message called, With Me in Paradise, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And so they're mocking him, and they're belittling him, they're devaluing his messages. Being the salvation of God, they're broadcasting doubts and shame upon Jesus Christ by saying this. And the word sneered. The word sneered in Greek is this. It means to tilt, and this actually did this. It means to tilt the head back, one commentator wrote. I think it was actually J. Vernon McGee. I think he wrote and said that they tilted their head so far back, you could almost see their brains up their nostrils. It's an exaggeration. And if you've ever been to that culture, oh my goodness, everything is so, nothing is calm there. They tilt their head back, looking right up the schnoz there. And they're sneering at him. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. And their head is back. And it is also, listen, the word also means that as it is a Middle East expression of disgust, it communicates a sense of superiority, power, and control. They're making fun of him. They're mocking on him. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2 says, For I determined, said Paul the Apostle, not to know anything among you guys except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's radical. Think about it. You guys, let's be honest. Right now, you walk around this world and you say, I believe in my Savior who was crucified for me. That's going to generate a response from people because crucifixion, Christ, the cross, as we've been talking about, is an absolute offense to people. They want to make fun of it. I can't believe you believe in that. That's ridiculous. Well, Paul the Apostle, who was a brain, said, I don't care to know anything among you guys except one thing, and that's Jesus Christ crucified. Wow. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. That's kind of interesting. It means that they were actually educated beyond their ability to think correctly. If you think about that. I'm too smart to believe in God. That's impossible. You think you're too smart to believe in God. He says then, since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, show us a miracle. And Greeks, that is the Gentile world, seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, Meaning, how can he be the Messiah if he allowed himself to be crucified? That's a declaration of weakness. And to the Greeks, foolishness, because that makes no sense. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 1, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's awesome. And then also this, because of his sacrifice, church, we have come to honor him. A moment ago, you were singing that song, I Stand in Awe of Him. And you know, there's certain songs that just pluck your heart. Have you noticed that? Like an instrument. And that's one of those songs for me. I stand in awe of him. And to be in awe of him is to honor him. The Bible says that we're to honor him in all that we do. Jesus is on the cross buying back to himself the world by his shed blood being the sacrifice. And as believers, we honor him. Watch what happens. Verse 36 and 37, it says that the soldiers also mocked him. Now representatives of the Roman Empire step in, these soldiers, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And of course, notice this. The religious leader said, if you're the chosen one, rescue us and yourself. And now the guys who are representing Rome says, hey, yeah, if you're the king, save yourself. And here that word means to mock or to ridicule his lordship. They're making fun of the fact that, oh, so you claim to be Lord, huh? Your authority. Well, let's see some. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 10, that he was in the world. And the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That's a reference to the Jewish people. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right or the power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And that's a blanket statement this morning. If you are Jew or Gentile this morning, the question is, do you believe in him? Have you called upon his name? Because this is the one who dies on the cross as a sacrifice. If anyone is thinking rightly, properly, and I do, as I say that, I intend to stir up an emotion in you right now. If you are thinking, isn't it Rush Limbaugh that says, I'm thinking with half my brain tied behind my back just to make it fair? Well, I want you to be thinking right now with a little bit of your brain. It only takes a little bit. Do you really believe that you can have your sins forgiven by the blood of animals, by the blood of bulls and goats, says the Old Testament? Do you really think so? Do you really think that you can honestly have your sins forgiven by you hoping, banking on, gambling that your good deeds will outweigh your bad deeds? In the end, the scales will tip, which I don't know where we ever came up with that idea. It's nowhere found in the Bible. The scale will tip in favor of good, and we get to just stumble right into heaven. Boom. Whew, made it. The Bible says that nobody gets to heaven by works, or else they will be able to boast about it. That wouldn't be heaven, huh? If people walking around, hey, look at me. That would not work. It's all based upon his sacrifice on the cross. And we come to him understanding and being honest, intellectually honest with ourselves, that it makes sense that it would be not even the blood of a man that would get us into heaven. It had to be God come to earth to get us into his heaven, mind you. Doesn't it make sense? It just makes sense. Makes sense. Hey, if you're going to come to my house and you don't know where I live, then I'm going to come and I'm going to either give you a map or I'm going to come and take you to my house. Does that make sense to you? Doesn't it make sense for God to say, hey, you don't know where I live and you don't know how to get there? I'll take you there. Does that not make sense? What is our problem? I know nobody in first service has this problem. I'm just hypothetically saying. Nobody here's got that problem, but who would have a problem with that? It's amazing. It's so simple, and I appreciate that, and I honor that, and I'm so grateful to him for that. Point number two, with me in paradise, yep, because of his mission. Not only because of his sacrifice, number two, because of his mission. Verse 38 to 41. Number one is this, Jesus is the Lord of all. That's a fact. That's a fact. Jesus is the Lord of all. Here's the amazing thing. You guys know this, right? The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You might be here today saying, I'm not going to bow. You will bow. You will bow. The Bible even clearly actually indicates that Satan himself will have to bow and say it. Amen. Think of that. That's going to be a good day. Everyone will bow. Here's the amazing thing. Now's the time to understand the fact that you want, and God wants you to willfully bow now, which is a form and truly a declaration of worship to him. To decide that now. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto every man once to die and then comes the judgment. There's no second chance. But every person will bow. Believer or, well, let me correct that too, huh? You may be an unbeliever in this world and perish, but when you stand before the Lord and then bow, you will be a believer then. It will just be too late. Think about it. Everybody who's in hell today has got perfect theology. They just caught on a little too late. It's amazing. Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 38 says, and an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews, it announced. And as I mentioned before, that is the exact way that every criminal in Rome or under the Roman jurisdiction of the empire was to be crucified. Their sin, their crime was put over their head. So all could walk by and see, wow, thief. That's what happens to thieves. I will not steal. You see, there'll be a sign, rape. The guy's a rapist, which in the Old Testament, and should be today, mind you, in the world, punishable by death. You'd walk by and you'd say, rapist, crucified, I will not rape. Rome understood that. I'll tell you real quick, because I don't want to lose my time here. I had a geology teacher who took a sabbatical and went to Turkey. He stayed at the Sheraton or the Hilton there in Ankara. Left in the morning to join the tour group to go on his tour. Noticed at their first stop in the morning, he didn't have his wallet. Didn't have his wallet. All day long, couldn't turn back with the tour group, comes back, and out in front of his hotel on the ground is his wallet. You want to know why it was still there? Because in the Islamic world, if you take what's not yours, they cut your hand off. Wow. You see, that's not fair. I think it's awesome. I think it's amazing. I dig that. That's really excellent. What are you doing messing around with something that's not yours? Well, Jesus is crucified, and it says the King of the Jews. That's his crime. Both excellent and at the same time a warning. 33 years earlier from this moment of crucifixion, Matthew chapter 2, the Christmas passage, verses 1 and 2. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who is born King of the Jews? The wise men came. And that was the banner that constantly flew over the life of Jesus. It's not like they thought it up right then and there. The people all his life, churchless and friendsless, and for 33 years, the people could judge him if he were the Lord, if he were the king. They could evaluate him. They could test him for 33 years because that banner was at his birth. Can Jesus Christ deliver the goods? That's the banner that flew over his head for 33 years on earth. And I want to ask you today, do you think Jesus Christ can deliver the goods today in your life? I tell you what, he can. But do you know that? Well, listen, today maybe you're saying, I'm not a believer. I don't know if I'm a believer or not. Listen, here's what I want you to do. I invite you to judge him, evaluate him, test him. Take on the challenge. Jesus is real. You can touch him that way by faith. You can take his claims and put him to the test. You can judge him, as it were, in the court of law. You can judge him. You can evaluate him. You can test him. He's real, and he's not afraid.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
John 21, verse 25. And there, the Bible says, John said that, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Wow. The people could judge him. Note this, because it was declared over his head in Greek, in Latin, and in Hebrew. First of all, this is very cool. Mark this down, write it in your margins. Greek was the world language. That was the scholastic language of the day. Everybody spoke Koine Greek. It was the internet language of the world back then. The Greek language, worldwide. Thanks to Alexander the Great, who was there before them. Number two, it's written in Latin. Latin was the language of the Roman Empire, headquartered in Rome. It was the common political language. The people's language, it was written. The political language, it was written. And then it's written in Hebrew, which is what? The religious language. Hebrew was the language of the Jewish people as it is today. And it was the common religious language of the day in Israel. And it's in these three realms and where man always attempts to try to redeem or rehabilitate himself, and it never works. In John chapter 19, verse 21, the Bible says, therefore, the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said he was King of the Jews. And Pilate answered and said, what I've written, I've written. Oh, you guys, I've studied that. Look at it on the screen. What I've written, I've written. You know how it's really, if we were saying it today, Pilate would say, you know what? Stick it in your ear. Pilate is saying, you know what? What I have written is the way it is. I love that. When Pilate said, he's King of the Jews, he's making an announcement. And the leadership couldn't stand that statement. Out of the mouth of the representative of the Roman Empire, truth comes out. He says, so what? I tell you what, so what? That makes it a legal statement. It's legal. In other words, he's given his critique, and what he's saying is, hey, this is King of the Jews. And he would point to the people and say, what's your problem? Now, he's guilty for not stepping up for what he believes in, right? We already know that. He's going to try to wash his hands. It ain't going to work. But I want to ask you something. We can attempt all of our lives, church, listen, to rescue ourselves with education. There are cultures that say education is king. And you'll do anything, sacrifice anything for education. Look, education is excellent. But that pursuit cannot supersede knowing God. Number two, what's represented here is politics. If we just have the right politic in power, we can redeem and rehabilitate and rescue ourselves. Jesus is Lord. Thirdly, it's this. If we just have a religion that we can formulate that meets all of our demands and all of our needs, it's going to work for us. And religion is a man-made attempt to reach God. It never works. That's why there's so many religions in the world. Man-made. Psalm 2, verse 6 says, I, the Lord, have set my king, that's the Lord, on my holy hill Zion. Oh, that's an awesome verse, is it not? God is saying, I've set my king on Mount Zion. Church, listen, figure that out. That screams Jesus. You can't get around that. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. The word in Hebrew is yalad, and it means to present, to bring forth. Listen, to unveil to you. God is saying, hey, everybody from Mount Zion. Oh, this gives me, God is saying in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, chapter 2, hey, everybody, I'm going to reveal to you my king. Where? I'm going to set him up on my holy mountain, Zion. Where's that? Jerusalem. Little area in Jerusalem. Very specific. GPS. Boom, right there. Google Earth, you can look at it. Oh yeah, what's the deal? He's the one, that one, that will be begotten by me. Meaning, he's the one I'm going to exalt. He's the one that's going to be honored. He's the one I'm going to bring forth like a woman brings forth a baby. I'm going to bring him forth because God so loved the world that he brings forth his only begotten son so that you can have salvation. That's amazing to me. Secondly, Jesus is the Christ of God. He's the Christ of God. Verse 39 says this, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. And so with this, the criminal accuses Jesus of being evil. He's actually accusing Jesus of being guilty of wrongdoing. The criminal's saying, come on, stop lying up here. Stop making up stories. If you're the Christ, let's just stop all this stuff. Save yourself, save us. It's a mocking term. It was a custom of the day. Blasphemo is the word that he uses. To blaspheme, it means to vilify, to accuse someone of wrongdoing or slander. That's what this man, the word is. He's accusing Jesus of doing wrong. Isn't that amazing? But listen, today, you either love Jesus and you gravitate toward him or you resist him and push away from him. And when you scrape away all the veneer, it is because of your fundamental belief about who Jesus Christ is. And if you say, well, he's a good man and leave him there. Oh, he was one of the most enlightened ones that's ever lived and you leave him there. You have vilified him. He is more than that. He's the Christ of God, says the Bible. You can't get out of that. And to not acquiesce or to ascend to who he is to commit blasphemy. A lot of times we think that blasphemy is saying nasty words. You know how the Bible says you shall not take the Lord's name in vain? You and I in our culture, we think that means cursing. That doesn't mean to cuss. To cuss or to curse in the Bible means to cuss or to curse. To take the Lord's name in vain is to live a life that does not bring honor to God. That's what the word means. To blaspheme is to vilify him by what you say or by what you do. And this man is saying Jesus cannot save himself and he can't save us. This man, in my opinion, is a forerunner of many today in our world. It's the way that they think. It's a polluted way of thinking, granted. It's a reprobate way of thinking, no doubt about it. But God is not in their thoughts.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called With Me in Paradise. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. I have Pastor Jack in the studio right now, and we're catching up about our current featured resource, the one-year Bible. So for folks that have never seen the one-year Bible, are we just going straight through the Bible from the beginning to the end, or how does that work? How does the format work?
Yes and no. Yes, you'll start in Genesis, but here's what happens. You'll read a chapter or two. It depends on the size of the chapters, but they've engineered it in such a way where you'll read an Old Testament passage, then it will take you into a New Testament passage, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And then it will take you into a Psalms, mm-hmm, and then it will take you into Proverbs. Mm-hmm. In one day, for 365 days.
That's fantastic.
Epic.
Now, we found that there's a lot of power in reading this together as a congregation.
Yeah.
Something about thousands of people going through the same pages of the Bible together. It's really profound, isn't it?
Well, it's amazing because the scriptures say in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I cannot read that without thinking of the real power. I'm not talking about explosive power. I'm not talking about lifting weight power.
Yeah.
The power of God's word, when you ingest the Bible, there is a power that only the real believer knows about,
yeah,
and that is experiencing the life of God's word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, the scripture says. It's able to make that which is dead live again, spiritually speaking. So what we've experienced, Davey, as a church, is that when we're all on the same page literally every day, throughout the year,
we will hear people discussing, oh, did you read today's reading? Can you believe it's so much in line with the news or what happened right. or what I'm going through? And that's the power of God's word. That's what his word does.
That's interesting because my wife and I are doing a little bit of a Bible study. And when we do that, we catch up with each other at the refrigerator, you know, and say, yeah. did you check out what the, yeah, we get into these conversations yeah. about the Bible because we're on the same page.
Yep, exactly.
All right, that's the 1 year Bible, and it's our current featured resource. Join us this year, would you? Experience the power of reading through the Bible along with thousands of fellow believers. Receive a copy of the 1 year Bible when you give a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Here's our website, jackhibbs.com. Once again, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.